And they just couldn't do enough. It was just awesome.
Awesome is a very good word for it. We saw it here time and time and time again as well in the communications, et cetera. When it's a life-threatening situation, that brings out the best in people. Sometimes the worst, but, then the best of us will deal with the worst,
that's right.
and that's it.
And like Lynn said, and that's where we go back again to the diversity of our volunteers. We do have three nurses that were there with this shelter, and they came out. Two of them are my regular volunteers, mm-hmm. and then we had a volunteer that's on a list with Red Cross, and she was based out of Cimarron, and she called the chapter and they said yes. They get a hold of the DAP captain, and then we deploy them out.
Okay.
So we had access to more volunteers if we needed it. The awesome thing was we did it. We had enough people come out within this community, including my regular volunteers, to help us run the shelter effectively and smoothly for the duration of 4 days.
Was it 4 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's 24 hours.
Right.
Yeah, 24 hours,
right.
Et cetera. And it was a little more crowded that first day because the interstate was still closed, and then after they opened that up. And
shelter work is kind of, it's not really consistent. At first you think you're going to have a lot, which they did. They thought initially we'd be looking at hundreds. But then as the night wore on, sure, there were only a few people there physically, but then when the true sleeping hours came, like 10 p.m., 11 mm-hmm. p.m., that's when they all came out.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the inconsistency on the mm-hmm. count of how many people were in your shelter.
Okay.
Well, we hit a large number, but when everyone was there counting, it was earlier in the day. And then the same thing with the following days. We had people there that we were feeding and things like that.
Right.
But they went out during the day probably to speak with relatives, neighbors, coworkers, and things like that.
Right.
But with shelter work, you never know how many bodies you have. So whether it's 100, 300, we've had up to 400 in the past, we handle it just like we always do. We make sure we have the staff there. We make sure that we have that coffee going. And we're there to provide the support even to the fire department and our first responders. I think that was equally, if not more, challenging for us with this incident. The shelter work, I think my team has covered like the back of their hand.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we dealt with logistics and getting donations deployed back out to those firemen. Water came in like crazy.
We had dozens and dozens of calls, yeah.
Yes. So the diversity of volunteers, and we're always accepting new volunteers. We go through extensive training, like Dennis said.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it, the very first part of the training, includes that fulfilling our mission, which tells the individual about the goal of Red Cross and how it's important to present the Red Cross and preserve the integrity of the program. And that's by conducting yourself professionally. And if you have a good heart, you're a perfect volunteer.
Okay, yeah. You wear that red vest and that red cross proudly.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, they need a cot count, I think, then, is what they need. Not necessarily during the day. It's
right.
those actual beds and heads, almost like the lodger's tax sort of thing. So are we at this particular point? You're ready. You're on a moment's notice, etc. If any evacuation orders should be given out, then you mobilize right away.
Yes.
Now this takes a lot of money.
Yes, it does.
A lot of money. and we had before said that the Red Cross. Well, give us the procedure. If you want to donate money, not necessarily time, but if you want to donate money, what's that procedure and where does that money go?
For teams like ours, disaster action teams that are throughout the state of New Mexico, we go through the chapter in Albuquerque, which is the Mid-Rio Grande chapter. Their address is 142 Monroe Northeast in Albuquerque. And the particular fund is disaster relief. That is the fund that writes those checks, that pays the bills that we incurred at the local, and we will always shop locally. That's one thing, too. You know that your dollar, if you're donating a dollar, $10 to Red Cross, it will get spent in your community. And so, like I say, mm-hmm. that's the fund that is going to take care of any incidentals that we incur when we go out to help a family or we run a shelter or things like that. It's all that disaster relief fund out of out of Albuquerque.
Well, you know, and we're all the human condition too. Minot, North Dakota. You know what a disaster they're having there. Can't imagine. You know what 4,000 homes, something like that. Those people being displaced
for months.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And now with the fires, Las Conchas is just fired up. And
major. And again, Red Cross is there. Regardless of what the number is in our bank account at the main chapters, and in New Mexico, I believe we have three chapters, with Albuquerque covering the largest part of the state, if not 80%. I think it's like 85% of the state. We will be there, regardless of money. Red Cross, they have to fulfill that mission. So they'll get the money somehow. They'll go to national headquarters. But that's one thing, you know, that will be there regardless of how much money is in that bank account.
You know, this is American Red Cross. It really reminds me of the true American spirit, because it's a private corporation.
Yes.
No government subsidies, anything like that. And it relies on people to get the job done and their resources and their networking to help out in a time of need. So this is a truly American organization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The best way I can explain it is it's all about you. You're the ones that are within New Mexico alone. Only, I believe it's 5% of the Red Cross personnel are paid. The rest are volunteers like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're the ones that are living right next to you, that we're affected by the same disaster you are. The donation is coming out of our pocket like it is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there to help you, our community. So
all volunteer, huh?
Yes.
All right. You pay in many different ways. And thank you all. And yes, Lynn.
I just wanted to tell you, you had mentioned something about the training. And my experience was, I was trained on a Saturday, and Monday there was a fire. Now, I'm familiar with meeting people at a fire and all, but the actual Red Cross training, how I could help these people, what amount of money for clothing, you know, there were kids in their underwear and barefoot, and they needed meals and a hotel, and the training is such that if you're trained on Saturday, Monday night, you can do it.
You're ready to go. Huh?
And anyone can, right? So we'd love to have everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If they want more information, who do they contact?
They can get a hold of myself, Mona Sandoval. My number's 445-7135. I know Dennis and I do have new volunteers with this disaster. This is when the outpouring of money and volunteers take effect. And so, of course, we're going to have some training really soon for those individuals that want to become volunteers, because we never turn down anyone. There's always an asset or a skill that everyone can bring to the table.
Yeah, well, it's still fresh in our mind. You know, we need to help, and one of the ways we can help is also the Raton Fire Department has put out, if you're in a flood-prone area, they're giving out sandbags.
Right.
And now they're not going to fill the sandbags for you. The sandbags are at the fire department. The sand is at the fire training center on Jones. But we did have someone, speaking of volunteer, who said that if you are elderly or not able to do that, they would help mm-hmm. do that.
Yes.
So we have a phone number here of someone that has mobilized a little bit and will help with those sandbags, too.
Right.
And so that's, again, another example. This track fire had many different aspects that affected many different venues, including the train. Going right up the pass there, the train was delayed for several days, and that threw a lot of the scouts, the Boy Scouts, off their schedule, and that kind of affected you personally there, Dennis.
Yes, I was just talking to a fellow yesterday that was getting ready to leave town, and they were coming in, and they routed them just a crazy distance, and he said it was an extra 3 or 4 hours trying to get here, and they went over through Oklahoma and the Panhandle, and they finally
dry Cimarron.
Yeah, they finally worked their way through. But he said, I told him, I said, well, you know, the night train is normally half hour late. He said that was nothing trying to get here. So
okay, all right.
So it was a pretty he was pretty happy about the whole thing. He was getting ready to go home.
But they're flowing now.
Trains are flowing. No, everything. Yeah. They're back on their typical schedule.
Okay. All right. We understand what the implications of that are. A little. It's a floating schedule.
Yes.
Oh, also, they're not only in our watershed, but again in North Raton. Also in the pass area too, the scorched earth there has made it that I think it was said that normally the runoff is 2 to 3%, and now it could be as much as 70%. So it doesn't take much water. Yeah, doesn't take much water really to get that flow going and be a dangerous, dangerous situation.
Right, so. And like we said before, it's about being prepared year round. We work on that with our community. Every year, I know Dennis is at the health fair with our booth, which has the materials on getting your disaster kit together, what items you need to take. Like I say, you don't want to learn about this during the disaster. You want to be prepared before that disaster hits and know what items you should take. Look out for your pets. Have those kits together before it hits. And so that's what we're here for as a disaster action team within our community. We're here to provide assistance if you need it. We're at the health fairs, and you may not see a meeting every month, but we're out there. We've done a lot of training. There's not a month that doesn't go by that I don't donate probably a good 10 to 15 hours of my time towards Red Cross. It's something we believe in. And so, like we said, if you're interested in volunteering, give us a call. With this incident, some of our tasks still at hand are to get those blankets washed that we had at the shelter.
Okay.
So, and, you know, a lot of the money and time is spent from us, again, as volunteers. And we get pretty tired. I have to thank my employer for giving me the time off. Mm-hmm. I started my vacation 2 days earlier than expected, but I went directly into the mode with Red Cross. So if you have a bottle of laundry detergent or a roll of quarters you'd like to donate, let us know. But that's our next task at hand. Like Lynn said, we don't know if we're going to have to turn around and open up a shelter really quick. But we've got to get those blankets laundered and then, again, volunteer training and helping those people that expressed interest in joining the Red Cross.
You just don't realize all of the different levels that are necessary until you get into something like this. We, as a radio station, had not really experienced anything like this, at least in my history with the station. And it was quite an education dealing with the different levels. We had federal Type 2 Incident Command, the State Forestry was here, et cetera. And then we go to county, and then we go to city, and then our own Raton Fire Department. And so, it was just kind of real maze. And so a lot of information gets out that is just not necessarily accurate.
Right.
I'll put it that way.
Right.
I'll put it that way.
Understanding the chain of command when the disasters hit the various levels, that's another training that we go through as Red Cross volunteers. FEMA sponsors an online NIMS training, the National Incident Management System. Mm-hmm. Understanding the logistics of when the different entities and resources come into play. Lynn and I went all the way to Taos in the second year, I believe, to take training. So disaster preparedness and Red Cross go hand in hand. And there's a lot of training out there if you're interested.
Okay, very good. Also, it was mentioned at yesterday's town hall meeting, people were wondering, you know, what can we do? What can we do? At this particular point, get a hold of our representatives and kind of shake their trees, letting them know that, you know, we're okay, but we need some help with the city's resources to fully fund all of what is needing to be done. We just don't have it.
Right.
We were in a strain before, and now with all the overtime, et cetera, you know, and we're not alone in the world or in the country. I mean, a lot of small towns are in that, but not a lot of small towns went through what we're just going through. And this is a long-term thing. It's going to be with us for years. So right now, getting a hold of the congressmen and the senators and who all you know to let them know, hey, we're here and we need some help, especially with the watershed. You know, we're taking action into our own hands, which is good. As I think Dave Pasquale said yesterday, you know, after the fire, FEMA doesn't come over and just drop buckloads of money on us either.
No.
You know, I mean, yes, they did fight the fire, and that they did that excellently. And we want to thank our first responders too.
Definitely.
City of Raton, the City of Raton Police, the Raton Fire and Emergency Services, and all of our areas, man.
Oh,
you know, we saw them here, Philmont, Roy.
Yes.
See, I started naming them all, and now I shouldn't have. But, you know.
I'll have to come in at a later time. I have a list of volunteers and donors. I could go on forever. And it's really heartwarming to see everyone came out. Mm-hmm. Average people. People that don't have a lot of money. People that donated time. Everything. We had one gal come out, made burritos.
Oh, they were
and,
good.
Delicious.
They were.
And, you know, somebody that I didn't know that probably lives two blocks away from me that came out and took time and got her kitchen going and whipped out 200 burritos.
Well,
that's
no.
not an easy feat.
No, no.
Whipped out. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she did. She whipped it out and stuffed sopapillas.
With salsa.
We all have talents. Well, yeah. Give me that name and number after we get out. And I noticed, too, I went there that first night that you were opening up, there were a lot of young people, too.
Yes. Oh, of
yeah,
course.
There were a lot
They're
of young people.
They're the best
people.
Ones. They can handle those stairs and like nobody's business.
But it did my heart good to see them, you know, wanting to give back and to help, too, as well. So, so our future looks good.
It does.
It's just maybe a little shaky at some particular points.
Yeah.
So, but our future has the American Red Cross. And, again, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's not an easy job. It is all volunteer. And so those things that you give back to us, we can sure, you know, we appreciate it. Sometimes you get in stressful situations and people are they're mm-hmm. not quite appreciating things as much as they should. And so thank you from the community and thank you from our entire Colfax County, too. So
very welcome.
You're welcome.
Anything else?
No, just appreciate, Billy, the opportunity to tell the community we're here and ready to serve.
Okay. American Red Cross. Thank you. Dennis Downing, Lynn Pasquale, Mona Sandoval. And again, call Mona. What's the number again?
445-7135.
Okay. If you have any questions or if you want to help.
Yes.
Thanks again.
Thank you.